Hello and welcome to the Glastonbury Calling Thursday Live Rewind Show, where we play some of the live sessions that we've recorded in the past before we started the Glastonbury Calling podcast. These are ones that I recorded on Thursday Live. So this is one from June 2019, and we had an American gentleman in the studio called Rodney Brannigan, who lives locally, and he is of the Two Guitars fame. He's a country folk musician and great fun, and we had a great chat with him anyway. So here we go, you're on to the intro, and I hope you enjoy this. Okay then, here we have Rodney Brannigan here in the studio. He is playing on the acoustic stage at Glastonbury Festival this year. Exciting.
I'm a bit excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, you're a bit excited. Well, we'll get you to play a first track,
yeah,
and then we'll have a chat about all that and everything else.
Cool. So this song's called One Seed.
Where I'm from, trees don't grow up and down because the wind blows so, and the seedlings fly away. They're looking for a soft place to land. It's fertile ground where a tree might stand, grow tall and join the sway. They plant their roots so far from home. The journey starts off fast but all alone. One day a forest will be made. Takes one seed and a little rain. One seed. One seed. Hasn't rained for 5 years now. Not a trickle, not a drop comes down. I think farming's had its day. Wake up and send the kids to school, cause city life seems much less cruel. But we can spare them from the pain. We'll plant their roots so far from home. Journey starts off fast but all alone. And one day a forest will be made. Takes one seed and a little rain. One seed, one seed, one seed, one seed. From trees don't grow up and down because the wind blows so, and the seedlings fly away. They plant their roots so far from home. Journey starts off fast but all alone. And one day a forest will be made. Takes one seed and a little rain. One seed, one seed, one seed, one seed.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good. Appreciate that, man.
No, good. Well, it's nice to have you on the show. And, well, in effect, even though everyone will probably notice you've got an American tinge to your voice, well, more than a tinge, you're from music capital of Austin, Texas.
Well, I lived in Austin, Texas when I was in my 20s. But I'm actually from Amarillo, Texas, which you'll be familiar with because of the song, I'm sure, the Show Me the Way to Amarillo, which is a question I get asked a lot.
Yeah, I know. But it's a strong music area, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Texas is huge for music. I actually come from I'm a third generation musician. My father wasn't a professional musician for very long, but my great great uncles were in a famous Texas swing band back in the 40s.
Okay.
And they were called Elmer Evans and the KYOB Cowboys, and they used to tour all over Texas with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys and Hank Williams and folks like that. So they were kind of on that scene, you know, in the 40s, kind of at the start of Nashville country music. So my uncles used to play with a guy named Lefty Frizzell, which was the guy that kind of started Nashville country back in the 40s. So honestly.
History and you're residing in the UK in Froome now.
In Froome, yeah. So. Well, I spent 7 years in London and decided I need to be closer to some agriculture. So Somerset seemed like the best place for that, really. It's, I live close to a dairy farm, so you know it smells like home most days.
Sounds like home. Yeah. So, well, what made you pick Froome then?
It was a lot of reasons. I kind of fell in love with Somerset in general, and when I first came over in 2007, I was doing a lot of festivals in the area, I just fell in love with the West Country in general, from Somerset out to Cornwall. I loved it all. So I spent as long in London as I needed to spend, and then decided to move ended up choosing Froome out of a list of about six different places, which Glastonbury was on that list of places as well. But ended up moving to Froome for schools, and then I've been there for 5 years now.
Okay, so how did you? Well, I mean, history with family and that's probably how you got into music.
Yeah.
But how did you decide that you wanted to become a professional? Because it's one thing being into music because of family, but then it's another thing wanting to make that step to being a professional musician.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it was watching my father play when I was younger, because my father was in bands growing up, in country bands when I was growing up. So when I was about 12 or 13, I would accompany him to gigs when I could and to his rehearsals. And I saw that he was getting a lot of joy out of what he was doing when he was playing, you know, because a professional musician is always in front of people when they were there to have a good time, basically. So a lot of smiling, happy people. And I could just kind of see the rush that he got off of it. So when I was about 13, I decided that's what I wanted to do for a living and make my living making people happy. So, yeah. It sounds...
No, it's great. But and making that step into singing and writing your own songs.
Mm.
I mean, did you get an education from your father with helping with songwriting?
Yeah, we've been writing songs together since I was a kid. Yeah, we've always had guitars around, and like in Texas growing up, a lot of my friends went hunting with their dads and fishing with their dads, and we didn't really hunt; we went fishing. But most of the time, we sat in a garage studio and just wrote music. And did that most of my, you know, teen years.
So he's been a great influence on
massive,
your music.
Massive influence, yeah, for sure.
And when you're writing stuff now on your own, do you ever ring him up and say, "Well, what's your"?
Oh, he's the first set of ears that anything I write gets played to. He's the first. So I as soon as something's written in the studio and I think it's any good, I send it to him first thing, and usually he tells me it's pretty good. Even though later on, when he gets more comfortable with, you know, the track, he'll say, "Well, Rodney, I didn't really like that one that much, quite honestly." he's got quite old fashioned taste, but he is honest with me about it, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the way. I mean, the problem is sometimes, especially when you've got friends and stuff like that, you get lots of people will tell you, "Yeah, and brilliant," but that's not always the advice.
That's not always the advice
you
want.
Put something out there, and then you find, "Oh no, no one likes it. Why is that? Why didn't you tell me?"
Yeah. I'm fortunate I'm surrounded with some pretty honest people as far as that's concerned. So sometimes I make the decision, "Well, I'm not writing music just for you," but most of the time there's a bit of wisdom in what they're saying. Especially my father. He'd be quite honest with it, because he's a big fan of music in general as well. So yeah, he's got a good set of ears for it. He doesn't like the rap stuff that I like. So that's always been our divergence. Is he's a big fan of country music and folk music, and that's kind of where my roots lie. But you know, for the last decade or so, I've been listening to almost nothing but rap music and heavy metal. So
what are the acts that you listen to?
Well, I'm a big fan of like Eminem and 50 Cent and that stuff that came out of that early 2000 era rap period. 50 Cent going back to like 1998. But one of the new guys that I'm really into is this guy named Logic. Have you ever heard Logic? Are you into rap?
A bit of it. Yeah.
There's this guy named Logic, and he's a relatively new on the scene, but he's got a few tracks where I'm a big fan of people able to spit a lot of words at one time. And I think he's down to like 8.67 syllables per second for 30-second intervals.
Yeah,
which I love. You know, you can't really understand it when you hear it the first time, but I love to just sit and pick out the words and find out who he's slamming or what, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever try and sort of bring any of that fast beat stuff into your music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Those are the songs my father generally doesn't like. To be quite honest, but yeah, I do quite a few of those kind of things. Like, One Seed's a song that I wrote about my hometown, and it's quite, it's just like a homesick song, but most of my songs are a bit more up-tempo and... I'm quite well known for instrumental techniques as well, so my set's not just soppy folk songs.
No. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, a bit of everything. I'll do some rapping. I'm not afraid.
Oh, wicked! Have a go at anything. All right. Well, you okay to play a second?
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Let me think what I'm gonna do first. I'm going to do an instrumental for you, if that's cool.
Yeah.
This is one off of a track that I'm going to play at Glastonbury called The Flip Trick. Yeah, so this is an instrumental track that I play with a group of songs, three songs, that I call The Flip Trick. And so the premise is I start with playing one guitar. I end up playing two guitars with one balanced on top of the other while I'm standing up.
Right.
And then halfway through the last part of the song, I drop one of the guitars and let it fall. I catch it on the way down. I take one off my shoulder, sit down in a chair, throw the other one up in the air, get it to spin, catch it, sit it down in my lap, all in a beat like that, and then start playing again. It's something that's great on a live stage. I can't do it in the radio studio.
Is this your wife's doing in the kids' field that makes you do stuff like this?
No, not at all. Not at all. This is a young man with... way too much free time on his hands. This is a track my dad, he used to call this song, Rodney, it's Time to Get a Girlfriend. Anyway, this is called the Slot Machine. Point where I go crazy.
Oh wow, that's
thank you.
Yeah, magnificent. Are you ambidextrous?
I am ambidextrous.
Ah,
Was it obvious?
No. I mean, that was really difficult. That looked really difficult, and I was thinking, you must be
wired up a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So I draw with both hands at the same time, or write with both hands at the same time. And then I play two guitars at the same time.
And can you play guitar left-handed and right-handed?
I can play guitar left-handed and right-handed. I'm not very good left-handed, quite honestly. My rhythm in my left hand is not as good as the rhythm in my right hand, but that's just... I just think
it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
To be able to do it.
Yeah. You know. I guess so. It's a party trick. It's a party trick. I guess that's my superpower. And then all the stuff develops out of that. So I spend lots of time in my studio trying to figure out different ways to do things like this. So at Glastonbury, I'm going to have a band for part of my set, so it's going to be a rockier set. But when I do my solo sets, I actually take out a drum with me sometimes with a mandolin, and I'll strap the mandolin to my back, and I'll play the mandolin, the drum, and the guitar at the same time while I'm singing. And it's interesting. It's a lot of sound coming out of one person without any real technology.
I mean, it is. You're saying that you played the acoustic stage, so how did that all come about?
Because it's
quite a nice gig to have.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice gig to have. I'm really looking forward to that. That happened after last year's extravaganza at Glastonbury Abbey. I got a call from Michael Eavis the day of the extravaganza, asking if I could come in and fill in a set for Paloma Faith, because she had laryngitis, I guess, or some reason she was canceling. I'm not going to presume anything.
I'm not going to presume anything.
Yeah, that's all the information I have. She couldn't sing for some reason, so
yeah.
I drove all the way up from London to walk out onto the stage in front of 15,000 people.
America would say you hightailed it.
I did. I was so lucky I didn't get some points taken off on my license, because I was doing 100 miles an hour. And in fact, I'm not even sure I didn't even know my car would go as fast as it was going that day, actually.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I got there, you know, in time for them to unload my cars, throw them on the stage again, and they just said, go.
Were there people looking out for you at the gate when you hoiked up at the last minute?
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was someone that, is that his car? Got binoculars out.
Yeah, that's a long story. there was a whole team of people that were anxiously waiting my arrival, because they flew in Tom O'Dell as well, but they had to fly him in by helicopter. So, I'm wondering why I didn't get my helicopter, quite honestly. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so from that, Michael asked me to play the acoustic stage this year. So,
yeah, I mean, it must be exciting just rolling up there in front of quite a few thousand miffed people.
It was a bit intense, actually, because I was told right as I was going on stage that, we only told them that Paloma Faith wasn't going to be here 15 minutes ago. And I just walked out thinking, oh, man, they're expecting Paloma Faith and they're going to get Rodney Brannigan from Amarillo, Texas. Walking out on stage going, how y'all doing out there? Are you guys having a good time? Completely not what they were expecting, but it went very well. It went, we got, the crowd was, you know, by the end of it singing along with me, and I couldn't have expected it to go much better than it did.
Oh, wow. And you're going to bring some of that to the acoustic stage?
Oh, man, well. I'm going to blow the top off of the acoustic stage. Yeah, it's going to be a bit ridiculous, actually. I've had time to think about it for the last... Like, we only were able to make the announcements for it last month, but I've known about it for the last 7 or 8, so I've been plotting in my head what's going to happen on that stage. So, yeah, we're going to have a blowout set.
Yeah, I mean, with your wife being involved with the kids area, you must have visited the acoustic stage a fair old bit.
We're right across the field from it. Yeah. We spend quite a lot of time in that field, actually. That's especially on rainy ones, we end up in that tent quite a lot, because it's a big, massive covered area.
Yeah.
So, I'm very familiar with that. That's why I'm so excited about it. I've been going to Glastonbury since 2007 with our Replay Music project in the kids' field. And, I've seen some really great acts on that stage, and people that I've, you know, really, really respect. Like saw Ani DeFranco last year. She's been on my list, or not last year, but the year before that.
Yeah.
And so, got asked to play that stage. I can't think of a greater honor, quite honestly.
Okay. And besides that, do you are you going to float around and do a couple of things on other stages, or you just
no, I can't actually. That's no, it's a contract. It's an exclusive for the acoustic stage. So I'm not even sure I can sit in on jam sessions. So I'm just going to enjoy the festival this year.
Yeah, yeah, and
yeah, go see some other acts. I really want to see Wu-Tang Clan. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The old school. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Historic act. Really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's, who else are you looking forward to seeing then?
Well, I'm going to take my daughter to see Christina and the Queens on Sunday. That's the big one that I'm planning on. She's 10 years old and she loves her music, so we're definitely going to make a point to go to that one. And other than that, I've got some good friends. Well, I've got several good friends around the festival site that are playing, but a band called Knock on Medicine for the People are going to be on the Avalon stage, and I'm really looking forward to that one as well on Sunday.
Okay.
So, yeah, a few good acts to see.
Yeah, a few good acts to see. And that's what I say. The festival's like a different festival for every person that goes there.
Oh, it is. I'll probably spend a day in the circus and theater field, you know, just getting my laughs in and, you know, a day somewhere else.
Yeah.
Probably won't end up in Shangri-La in that loud area again. I've done that in the past. That's a I'm not a raver.
No. I might go to one or two loud bits in there, but there you go. You never know how it's going to go. Never. It's like you could start off with plans and then.
Oh yeah.
But you were saying about your daughter. Is your daughter following you in music a bit? Is she?
Yeah, she is.
Keen?
She's learning to play the piano, and she sings. You know, and give her every opportunity to pick it up if she wants to. But I'm not going to force it to. My parents didn't force me to play music. It was just always around. So just make sure it's always around for your kids and hope they pick up an interest. And
yeah, yeah. So what releases have you got out there at the minute then for people?
I've got a few. So I just released, I think my last release was, I've got an EP that's out right now called One Seed EP. And it's kind of in pre-release mode, actually. We haven't actually, it's a precursor to an album coming out this next year.
Okay.
But I've got an album put out by Bad Reputation Records in France, based out of Paris, called Nothing Better to Do, which is a blues rock album with a very beautiful woman on the cover of it. thought I should point that out.
Yeah, no, I should point that out.
It got me in trouble when that came out. not for the reasons you'd think.
Okay.
It's still a long story. And then I've got an album that I released in 2012 called Sketches. But I've got some new material coming out this year.
Oh, that's good. So people have got plenty to look forward to for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is going to be a good year, I think.
And sort of like you've got one or two tours. Yeah, you're off to the States and saying you might be off to India.
Yeah, I'm back off to the States at the end of November or December, I think. And then, back to, I'm in South Africa in October. And then I'm in India in February, and then I'll be all over the UK all summer. Festivals all over the UK, not just Glastonbury festivals. So.
Oh, what ones you got lined up then?
I don't actually know.
You don't know. I think you just go where you're told to go.
I've got a Google calendar that basically has my day to day information on it. Like what time I need to be at the airport, what time I need to.
Yeah.
Other than that, I just float through life.
Is it exciting going to all these different places? What are you getting asked to go to different places of the world to play music?
It's really exciting. I love the tours that I do of India for sure. Sometimes it's a bit of a culture shock with just, you know, how India is, but I've learned a lot just by being there and being immersed in their music market for the last 10 years or so that I've been going there. I've gotten to collaborate with Rajasthani Sufi musicians and all sorts. Indian dance musicians.
And every time you go to these places, do you soak up some of that and bring it into your music?
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. You have to always be open to learning new things, really. That's how we grow as people, not just as musicians, you know.
Okay.
Sorry, did I get deep and philosophical?
No, it's brilliant. No, I was just thinking. So if people want to find out about your gigs and events and new releases, where can they do that?
Yeah, you can find that all on rodneybrannigan.com or any of the social media tags with Rodney Brannigan will get you to me as well. So Instagram, Facebook, all the relevant social media stops.
Okay. Okay, well, that's great. And thanks very much for coming in. Have a fantastic Glastonbury Festival.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And what are you going to finish up with?
Well, I guess I was going to do a bit of the two guitars magic, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that? I'll just do a little bit of it just to show you, because it doesn't translate that well for radio.
No. We can see it.
You'll see the magic. We can see it. Everybody at home just going to think it's two weirdos playing guitar together.
Yeah. Right, so here we go, the two guitars, man.
Two guitars, so I call this one the schizophrenic duet. We wrote this.
Well, thanks a lot then.
Thanks.
And as I said before, have a great festival. And
oh, man,
being
if too.